Well, this week has been an eventful week, to say the least. It began with a firm COVID lockdown and followed by a very nasty bushfire too close to home. This week's bushfire experience has inspired me to pull out an old sermon, which I've retitled. It's now called, "A Wrongly Placed Word is Like a Spark in the Bush." A wrongly placed word is like a spark in the bush. This week, when keeping abreast with the latest on the fire information, I read the Wirralong fire was causing spot fires 3.5 kilometres ahead of the actual fire front. Little fires, which turn quickly into big fires in dry bush, would spring up from the hot embers floating ahead of the front. This is how firefighters can easily become trapped, because they can be so busy fighting a front that they may not realise another serious fire has sprung up behind them. A sudden change in the wind is all it takes for them to be caught. The Australian bush is so crackly dry in February. What's the name of that famous book by Colin Teal? The February Dragon. What a brilliant description of an Australian bushfire, the February Dragon. In February, it only takes a tiny little spark to ignite a heart-wrenching catastrophe. The Bible in the book of James draws a brilliant analogy between a spark in a dry forest and a wrongly placed word. I want to read this passage from the Message Bible paraphrase. It is found in James chapter 3, verses 3 to 12. Read with me. "A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongue, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth will be pleasing to you this morning. For I'm aware that I will incur a greater, stricter judgment for the words I speak from this platform. I ask that your words will be my words, empowered by the Holy Spirit, piercing the hearts of all who hear today. Amen. The tongue. How many wars have begun? How many lives have been destroyed? How many hearts have been broken? How many souls have been lost because of this evil little thing? James in the scriptures homes in so well on the destructive power of the tongue. The tongue is indeed a powerful tool for evil. How does James put it? A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a bushfire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do just that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, and don't we know it, send the whole world up in smoke. It's true. It seems almost effortless to err when we use our tongue, and the consequences can be dire. How easy it is to let a destructive, critical word slip out, often to boost our own ego, to satisfy our own desires, to soothe our own hurts while we pull someone else down. All of us have said things we regret. All of us. If only I could retrieve that word. If only I could relive that moment. I should have kept my mouth shut. What on earth was I thinking when I said that? I am so disappointed with myself. Oh God, please give me the time back so that I could say it differently. This unruly creature has the capacity to bless our God and in the next breath curse our closest brother and sister. The truth of the matter is, what rolls from the tongue often reflects the very inner soul of the person. And that's not good, because some people, after judging what comes out of their mouth, would appear very, very ugly on the inside. Even the major prophets of the Old Testament, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, struggled with their tongue and used it as an excuse to not serve the Lord. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 verse 5, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among people with filthy lips." In other words, I can't control my tongue. And they're the words of one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. So tell me, is all hope lost? Are we eternally doomed by this unruly, untamed member who regularly gets us all into trouble? Do we forever have to run around trying to put out the spot fires we've started in the bush? And by the way, I do believe we need to put out the spot fires of wrongly placed words. As Christians, we should be quick to apologize and quick to admit we were wrong. But it's much better that we don't say the wrong thing in the first place. Is there any hope for us? You know, I love this book. This is the inspired word of God. These are the words that come from the mouth of God, that roll from his unseen tongue. This word is so honest and so accurate in pinpointing the major challenges we face as human beings. It makes very clear to us what our biggest trials and temptations are, but it always gives solutions. It is the answer. His word is the answer. God doesn't just point out the problems like we do. God is different. He gives us the solutions. How wonderful is he? There are two very important encouraging points I want to make in this short sermon today, concerning what we as Christians need to know about our tongues. And this is the first point. Point number one. The moment you became a Christian, when you said, "God, I'm sorry for all I've done wrong, and I believe that Jesus died for me, and I want you to come into my heart," at that very moment, everything that you've ever said wrong was completely wiped out. Gone. Poof. It is no more. Because of the blood of Jesus, God forgave every word that has ever rolled from your tongue that was not pleasing to him. Hallelujah. In addition to this, the blood of Jesus is so powerful that he also has forgiven you for every evil word that is going to roll from your tongue. Every word that you are going to say that you will regret and need to repent for has been dealt with at the cross. Now that's a relief. Past words, present words, and future words have been dealt with because his blood was shed for our sins. That's point one. And that's a really, really good point, because we can rest in Jesus. We're not eternally doomed because we can't control this. Jesus has paid the price for our unruly tongues. Hallelujah. But there's more, okay? And this more is even better. Point number two. You can tell by someone's speech, by the way their tongue forms their words, by their accent, you can tell exactly where they come from or who they've been spending time with. You can tell who they've been listening to. When I first came to Australia from England in 1969, I had a very strong British accent. I spoke words like, "Hey up, me duck," which is a weird greeting you give to females. And I stuck out like a sore thumb at school. And boy, did I used to get ripped for it. You had to be tough back then. But over a period of time, as I progressed through primary school, I found that my speech changed. My Pommy accent faded. Sometimes it was deliberate. I stopped saying certain words in a particular way because I didn't want to get a reaction from my Aussie friends anymore. But mostly my accent changed without me even thinking about it. So much so that when I went back to England 45 years later, I was an Aussie. And I was proud of my Aussie accent. I wanted everyone to listen to me talk because it was really good. In the same way, and this is a point too, in the spiritual realm, our speech can be transformed by exposure to the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. Our speech can be transformed by exposure to the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. It can. You don't have to speak like the world speaks. We hear and read a lot of junky talking. Facebook, YouTube, television, Netflix, the radio, work, family, uni, school. We're bombarded with worldly talk, with junky talk. And we all know that if you digest a lot of junk, you become very unhealthy. As Christians, we all need to consciously expose our ears, our eyes, to the words of God and start speaking His words. Stop listening to the trash. Stop believing the trash. Stop speaking the trash. Start speaking about things that are honorable, right, pure, and lovely and true. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, "Let no foul or polluting language," polluting means that it has the ability to contaminate others, "let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it." Isn't that a beautiful scripture? The fact is, we need to read God's word, believe God's word, think His word, and deliberately speak His word. Deliberately speak His word. And as you do, the words of your mouth will be pleasing and acceptable to God. The words of your mouth will be pleasing and acceptable to God. This means you won't have to be repenting all the time. Your tongue will be pleasing to God. It means you won't be putting out spot fires in the bush from wrongly placed words. But there's more. There's always more when it comes to God. When you're believing His word, thinking His word, and speaking His word, there is always, always, always a positive return. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's word, God's speech, is powerful. Think about it. The word, His word, created the heavens and the earth, and they were good. God spoke, and things came into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke, and His word created man, which means His word created me. Guess what? His word continues to create in me. His word continues to create something good in me. God has created in me a clean heart, which is getting better and better and better the more I speak and believe His word. Furthermore, as His word moves through me and leaves my mouth, it continues to work for the purposes of God. For His word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and when it is spoken from a humble, faith-filled heart, inspired by the Holy Spirit, miracles happen. Because His word creates, His word accomplishes that which is good. Christians should not have destructive, hurtful tongues. Our tongues should promote God's word, which is full of God's grace and wisdom, and it brings healing. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." The tongue of the wise brings healing. People, we need to allow the word of God to roll from our tongue. Stop speaking the negative rubbish of the world. The words of the world bring about destruction, pain, and strife. They destroy. They rip families apart, because that is the aim of the evil one, who roams the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But our allegiance as Christians is with Almighty God. It is His voice we listen to, His voice we repeat, and His voice that we obey. God is our Father. We are His children, and we are His instruments of peace. If you have a problem with a person, don't entertain vengeful, angry words filled with resentment. You only hurt yourself when you do. You're listening to and repeating the wrong person, the evil one. We belong to God. We have His righteousness and His word working in and through us. So speak His peace, His healing into the situation. Psalm 35, verse 28 says, "My tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long." Proverbs 10, verse 20 says, "The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver." Proverbs 15, verse 1 and 2 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." 1 Peter 3, verse 10 to 12 says, "Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer." I challenge you this morning. Are you allowing God's word to roll from your tongue? Or are you imitating the words of the evil one? Who do you sound like? What's your spiritual accent? God or the evil one? It's your choice. Words of life, words of death, words of peace, words of strife, words of healing, words of destruction. Remember, a wrongly placed word is like a spark in the bush. Allow the words of God to create something new in you, something new in the people around you. Let's keep our tongues pure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does something marvelous within us. And Lord, today I pray that everyone who has heard this word will respond how you want them to respond, with obedience. Father, help us as Christians to speak with your accent, the accent of the kingdom of God. And I pray this week, as a result of what comes from our tongues, that this week your kingdom will bless the people around them, that this week the people of City View Church will be an amazing blessing to their community. So Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for your goodness in us, and that you have given us the ability to speak in a pleasing way to you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit empowers us to speak according to your plan and purpose for our lives. So thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory, all the honor. Amen. The Lord bless you. I pray that you have a really good week, and I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.